It's time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry with 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards. I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight jacket.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King Pickens.
To the sideline, caught. First down. Woo!
What a hit! Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there? And you didn't invite me? Hurt my feelings!
Well, there's Chase Hunter. 2 seconds, one. Launches a three. Good if it goes! It does! Chase Hunter! The three! And the buzzer sends Clemson into the locker room. Up 10, 35, 25!
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Hite.
We welcome you in, everybody, to the Tuesday edition of Facts on Sports. Facts and Childress and John Hite right here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar on a Tuesday. It is Tuesday, December 2nd, 2025. We are glad to have you with us right here on The Roar. Exciting stuff on the horizon today with a lot to get to. We'll obviously continue to talk about the Tigers and the Gamecocks, the triumphant victory down in Columbia this past weekend. We'll start to delve a little bit deeper into some other rivalry matchups, a lot of which had college football playoff implications, including Alabama and Auburn, where I think Auburn kind of got hosed, to be honest with you. So we'll talk about that and more. We'll get into some NFL discourse because we only really got 5 minutes of NFL talk in yesterday. Lots to talk about in the National Football League and a Monday Night Football game to recap last night as well, with the Patriots taking down the New York Giants. Jackson Dart continues to kind of play reckless. I missed the previous two games with a concussion, was evaluated for another concussion in this one after getting put on his tail. I've got some concerns about Dart. I like him. I like the player. I think he's going to be a good player. He needs to chill out, and he needs to realize that playing that reckless at quarterback is not a sustainable play style going forward. We'll also talk a little Texas A&M. We'll talk college football playoff outlook, who's on the outside looking in, who is firmly in the college football playoff picture. All of that and more on the program today, and of course, some Clemson basketball with the ACC-SEC challenge on the horizon for the men tomorrow and the women on Thursday. I'll be packing a bag and taking the trip to Tuscaloosa tomorrow with women's basketball and hoping to catch that men's game on the nightcap before as well out in Tuscaloosa, because the men and the women play Alabama back-to-back. So all of that and more on the show today. 654-ROAR is the number if you would like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co. Roofing text line. Texter gets in and says, please give a preview of the ACC-SEC challenge. Yeah, we could start with some hoops today, since yesterday was 3 straight hours of football. That seems fair to me. So we'll hop into some ACC-SEC challenge discourse. If you guys have any questions, commentary, or more, 654-ROAR is the number. It's a loaded itinerary of ACC-SEC challenge matchups this year, and it's going to be interesting to see how everything unfolds. We all know that last year was dominated, and that was something that I kind of accurately predicted, because I thought that the matchups were super lopsided, and I thought that the ACC's best teams, unfortunately, were having to face off against the SEC's best teams. And then when you get to the middle of the pack and the bottom of the league, it was just lopsided, and it was unfair, to be completely blunt with y'all. That's not necessarily the case this year. I've outlined that I feel like the ACC is vastly improved this season. I'm going to stand on that take. I think this is an 8 or 9 bid league with a chance to get to double digits from a bid perspective. But it's going to be intriguing to see how everything plays out, because it goes without saying, you got to go out there and you have to execute in big time moments, and you have to execute in big time games. And that starts tonight between the number 13 Tennessee Volunteers going on the road to a Syracuse team that I think has performed very admirably throughout the course of the year thus far. A couple competitors competitive losses in their MTE. They're 7.5-point underdogs at home. I think they have a puncher's chance in that one. Then also at 7 p.m. on the SEC Network, you got Virginia Tech and South Carolina tonight. South Carolina's terrible. They're picked at the bottom of the league for a reason. They have no front court. They have one of the worst front courts I've ever seen in the SEC. I don't think Virginia Tech is great, but I do think they're a lot better coached with Mike Young over Lamont Paris. So I'll take Virginia Tech as the marginal underdog in that one. I think that's a chance for the ACC to get one. You also have Oklahoma and Wake Forest. I think Wake Forest is pretty good. You have a chance to get that one. Texas A&M and Pitt. Pitt with a terrible portal cycle. They do probably have a chance to get that one against Bucky Ball and Texas A&M, who are 0-1 away from home. So we'll run through all of these, and we'll give kind of like an overall matchup preview of how things could stack up. But long story short, the ACC fares much better in the ACC-SEC Challenge this year than they did a year ago, where they got absolutely demolished for the majority of the contest. John, on that note, we'll bring you in. Excited for the ACC-SEC Challenge tonight and tomorrow night, obviously, and excited for another great week of college sports here on the Hoop side.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that regular season football on the collegiate side is over, and, you know, it's all about hoops now. I am still struggling with the transition there. We'll get there, you know, be much better tomorrow when Clemson Tigers actually play against Alabama. Definitely looking forward to it. It's one of those events that kind of sneaks up on me every year. I think there's some intriguing matchups here, and there are some that I could definitely do without as well, which makes it for a real ACC-SEC challenge.
One that I feel very confident the ACC will be getting is Duke over Florida. Duke very much looks the part. Florida has not looked the part thus far. Their guard play has really struggled. They went and got Xavier Lee out of the transfer portal, 6'1 scrawny kid from Princeton, who's really skilled. He has not really adjusted well to the size of the SEC thus far and has really struggled throughout the course of his young Gator career.
That was considered a coup and a big-time gift for them at the time.
It was, yeah. That was like what I think they're paying him. $2+ million, I want to say, to play basketball this year at Florida. And he is currently averaging, let me check on these stats. So for Xavier Lee, the Princeton transfer, 9 points, 5 boards, 4 assists. Check these shooting percentages. 26% from the field, 21% from three. Oof. And we remind you, last year for Xavier Lee, the sensation that tested the NBA draft waters, 44% from the field, 37% from three, 17 points, 6 boards, 6 assists. So this was one of the most sought-after players in the entirety of the transfer portal that has regressed drastically overnight.
I think Ivy League competition to SEC meat grinder competition, right? So, like, you know, not every transfer is created equal. That's why there is still nuance to all this stuff. A reminder that there is nuance to the transfer portal with that coming up in about a month or so.
Oh, you mean it's not as black and white as many make it out to seem? What?
No, not one bit.
That is funny. 9 p.m. on the SEC Network tonight is Miami and Ole Miss. I like Miami. I love Jai Lucas and the job that he's done. I like watching him play. They played Florida, and they got popped a little bit, but that was really more just because they couldn't make an open shot. I think that was more of a shooting variance game than anything. They didn't necessarily seem like they were overwhelmed when I watched the tape back of that one, so I think Miami's got a chance against an Ole Miss team that I don't think overly highly of. And then at 9 p.m. down in the Tucker Center in Tallahassee, excited for this one, the Georgia Bulldogs and the Florida State Seminoles. This might be the first 1-90 with Florida State playing that NBA style, trying to get out and chuck threes. We know Mike White wants to get out and chuck threes as well, as we saw against Clemson down in Charleston. The over-under is 174.5. I think they go over that, and I think they cruise over that, to be honest with you. Missouri and Notre Dame, a little surprised to see Notre Dame a marginal favorite, but I do understand the home court advantage. They're 4-0 at home and 1-3 away from home. They still have Marcus Burton, if you remember from last year, the 25-plus point-per-game scorer. Unbelievable small guard that can get to his spots effortlessly. So like watching Notre Dame play, and I think Shrewsbury's got a little bit better of a team this year. And then you've got North Carolina and Kentucky tonight to cap it off on ESPN and Rupp Arena at 9:30. I don't think very highly of this North Carolina team thus far. I think there's still a lot of identity that they need to find. Caleb Wilson looks like a top five pick. I do know that much, and he's been unbelievable. Guard play. That's my big question right now for North Carolina is the guard play good enough to win against upper echelon competition? Well, you're going to get a test against a Kentucky team that's floundered thus far this season, but being at home in front of that Rupp Arena crowd, as you know, John, that's a different beast and a different animal. So those are your day one matchups for the ACC-SEC Challenge requested by Jed on the text line. Hope that was enough of a preview for you, Jed. And then we'll dive a little bit deeper into the weeds tomorrow and maybe later in the program for what's coming up on Wednesday, because there's a lot of good matchups on Wednesday as well. But John, what's your overall intrigue level before we shift gears to football for the ACC-SEC Challenge in totality? I know you said you're still shifting to hoops on the calendar. Do you take pride in rooting for the ACC in this, or are you kind of just neutral as long as Clemson wins?
I care about one team's performance and one team's performance only, and that is Clemson against Alabama tomorrow night, 6:45 pregame with a 7:15 tip. Yeah, I'm not one who likes to brag about my league's record or success or lack thereof. I think ACC football is a chance to do my favorite thing in the world, and that's completely missed the entire college football playoff. I think it's hilarious. So, no, I have to pull against NC State and Virginia and Louisville, Georgia Tech, and Duke and North Carolina. That comes naturally in Florida State. So I have a tough time rallying and, like, pulling for them.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I will care about it a little bit more because of the annoyance that was the argument last year of, well, we went 14-1 in the ACC-SEC Challenge, so therefore our league is better. Yeah, I like that stuff. If the ACC wants to win a bunch of games tonight to avoid an annoying argument in February,
yes,
I'm fine with that, but I am not going to put on the TV and be like, go Miami, go.
Yeah.
Or way to go Pitt. Like, I can't do that.
I think that's fair from an emotional standpoint. I think that's really what you kind of laid out is the only reason that I'm not going to have the TV on rooting for anybody hard other than Virginia Tech, and I think we can align with that one because of who the opponent is.
Sure, absolutely. Let's go Hokies.
That's the exception.
Enter
there.
The Sandman. Let's play
yes.
it.
Yes, but I will say the ACC needs to at least hover the 500 line for narrative's sake. That's the only reason I have rooting interest in this.
I'm fine with that, because I don't want it to be like you play in a charity, church men's league, while the SEC actually plays in the NBA.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That got very annoying down the stretch. That got very annoying last year, equally as annoying as the net ranking type of stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just... For me, I am not one who likes to brag about a league. So if your rooting interest is so that my conference is better than your conference, then great. Have at it. You do you. But if it's for setting up arguments and resume-based things for the tournament, that's a different conversation, in my opinion.
Agreed. And I think that's kind of where I'm at before we take a quick break. You're going to need a couple upsets. That's what I would say for the ACC-SEC Challenge. And I think an attainable and realistic goal this year is 500. I really think the ACC can get to 500 in this. Like, you need Virginia Tech to beat South Carolina on the road. South Carolina is not a good team, man. I'm not just saying that because it's the Gamecocks. They're not a good team. They're the best women's basketball team in the country, even though they just lost to Texas. Like, we give them their flowers when they deserve their flowers.
We're talking men's basketball.
We're talking men's
segment.
Basketball in this segment, not women's. That men's team stinks this year. They have no front court players. Virginia Tech really needs that one for the league's sake. Wake Forest against Oklahoma. Wake Forest has played really good ball so far this year. They already have a signature win on their resume that they got in the ballroom. They need to find a way to protect home court and win. It would be huge if Pittsburgh can take care of business. I've got no doubt in my mind that Duke's going to take care of business. We're going to breeze past that one. But, like, Miami is a 5-point underdog on the road in Oxford. That would be a big one to steal. You need to be rooting for the ACC tonight, at least from, like, an observational standpoint, just from afar, for league narrative purposes. But there are some bangers on the horizon as well on Wednesday. Louisville, Arkansas. Oh, my gosh. This might be the best guard play in the country we get in a singular game all season between these two teams. Arkansas has two freshmen that are unbelievably good. Acuff and Malik Thomas, both NBA players, both first-round picks after this year, have full confidence saying that. And then you look at Louisville, who I think has the best compilation of guards in the country, starters and bench. I'm going to be glued to the television for a while watching that one, or at least glued to my phone while I'm watching the Clemson game in person in Tuscaloosa. I think Clemson can give Bama some fits tomorrow. I think Clemson's strengths directly align with what Bama's weaknesses are, and Nate Oates would agree with me. Nate Oates has complained incessantly about his front court play and rebounding throughout the course of his post-game press conferences this year. John, what's Clemson's strength as a team? front court play and rebounding. So Clemson might be able to exploit that tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. LSU, Boston College, there's not a chance. SMU and Vanderbilt, not a chance. Sorry, SMU. I think Vanderbilt's final four good this year. NC State does have a chance to go on the road to beat Auburn. I will give them that. I think Virginia has a chance to beat Texas. And then you got Mississippi State and Georgia Tech in the caboose, is what I would like to call that for both of the leagues. Both of those teams are going to be towards the bottom. So we'll talk more college hoops throughout the course of the program. You guys are blowing up the text line. If you have questions, commentary, analysis, or more, 654-ROAR is the number. We're talking college hoops. We're talking Clemson football. We're talking college football from wire to wire on the program today.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple. The highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
Hello, Medicare recipients and ROAR listeners. Gary Mahaffey here with Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Are you turning 65 soon? We can help. Have you reached your 25th month on Social Security disability and received notice your Medicare will begin soon? We can help. You have both Medicare and Medicaid or low income subsidy and have just been notified that your status has changed. We can help. Have you recently moved or will be moving soon out of your Medicare service area? We can help. You have a chronic condition of the heart and or diabetes? We can help. If any of these apply to your current circumstances, please give me a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484, and we will help you with your issue.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Industrial Motor Service keeps production lines moving. Just ask Champion Aerospace.
It's always a pleasure talking with the staff at IMS. Every interaction is professional and courteous. They've helped us through many emergency situations. Always quick to respond for pickup, repair, and delivery.
For reliable service, expert repair, and a team that's there when you need them the most, trust Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com. Industrial Motor Service, trusted, tested, dependable.
Elevate your holiday feast and treat your guests to more than just a meal. Serve them a story of care, quality, and craftsmanship from AMPM Farms Butchery and Market. Bring the farm-to-table philosophy to every cut, sourcing premium meats from local and regional partners who share their commitment to integrity and flavor. Each selection is chosen for taste because your table deserves better than supermarket standards. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, Southern hospitality you can taste.
Harrison's is the home of Work, Western, and WOW! For nearly 30 years, our family has been boots on the ground when it comes to work. The key to our success is great partners like Ariat. We have the largest selection of Ariat in the Carolinas. Need comfortable work boots? Can't go wrong with Ariat. Want to show out at the rodeo? Can't go wrong with Ariat. Looking to WOW on date night? Yep, Ariat. Work staples, Western favorites, and casual styles to WOW any crowd. Shop Ariat at Harrison's in Malden and Spartanburg or online at harrisonsusa.com.
The holidays are quickly approaching, and what a great way to enjoy your holiday is with a new Toyota from Toyota of Easley. With financing rates as low as 1.99% on select models and up to $1,500 in holiday bonus cash, you can drive home today in a new Toyota and head out on your shopping and family gathering trips in style. If you need just a great used vehicle, we have a full lot of certified Toyotas and plenty of other makes and models. We are sure we have the right vehicle for you. Shop ToyotaofEasley.com or stop by for a test drive today.
Is this the real? Are you ready to rock like it's Wembley 86? One Night of Queen, performed by Gary Mullen and the Works, is coming to the Walhalla Performing Arts Center on Saturday, December 6th. Experience the magic, the music, and the moves of Freddie Mercury in this jaw-dropping tribute that's taken the world by storm. Tickets are on sale now at WalhallaPAC.com. That's WalhallaPAC.com. Don't miss your chance to feel the thunder of Queen live in Walhalla.
Hey Clemson family, it's Davis from Engineered Sleep. My family's been handcrafting mattresses for four generations, and now it's your turn to sleep like a champion. From now until December 7th, get our lowest prices of the year off our premium handcrafted mattresses. Visit engineeredsleep.com or stop by our Greenville showroom. Engineered Sleep, four generations of better rest built for your best game day.
Coach Saban here, and let me tell you, every second matters. Preparation is everything, and that's why I trust Kidde Smoke Alarms.
And as North America's number one home fire safety brand, they're built to respond over 25% faster to smoke detection. Kidde helps protect what matters the most. Find it at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Number one claim based on total household installations as of December 2023. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
Oh, no.
Ah, that's the sound of someone who's misplaced...
My debit card.
Their debit card.
Where'd I leave that thing?
Not at the gas pump, or the checkout counter, or the roof of your car. Now, if he has the Chase mobile app, he can use Card Lock.
Wait, I could just lock my card.
Yep, just a few tippy taps on his phone, and... that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
105.5 and 97.5, we are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Hour one of Facts on Sports continues. Before we get back into some of the hoops talk, I want to talk about Four Men on Exchange, the men's store there in downtown Pendleton, 102 Exchange Street in downtown Pendleton, right there next to the Nutique Boutique and the Clemson Sock Shop. Your home for anything men's gifts, garments, and gear related for this holiday season. Go by see Robert and Dan Kraft over there at 102 Exchange Street. They've got it all. They've got some... really cool apparel from different watering holes around Clemson. A lot of exclusive Clemson hats and shirts that you can't get anywhere else in town. That's where you will find the Clemson Sock Shop now, is inside of Four Men on Exchange. It's a great place to go get custom leather-made goods made locally in Pendleton. And it's just a great place to go shop and support a local business. So go by and see Robert and Dan Kraft over at Four Men on Exchange at 102 Exchange Street. Or as always, you can visit them on Facebook or Instagram for more updates.
Appreciate that, John. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. Texter says, here's my question of the day. Do you still think Lane Kiffin is the coach at LSU on December 2nd, 2030?
No.
No. Probably I not. Don't. Probably not.
Well, if not, he's flirting with the likes of Ohio State and the New York Giants.
I mean...
I just... What is the old adage in dating? If you started meeting your partner because they cheated on somebody else to be with you, then guess what? They're going to do the same thing to you at some point in time whenever they get bored.
Yeah.
Lane is just, he's sitting around until he's a bored housewife again, and then, you know, stirs up and needs to go find something else to do.
I will say the Ole Miss media member looks more and more right by the day. And apparently, I will say this to give Lane a slight amount of credit on that whole, I don't think, we're not going to say the word, but it's the housewife analogy that was made by an Ole Miss beat reporter. Lane called the guy and apologized and then sent a meme of him putting on a hat that says that word, John, which I did think was pretty funny. But again, like, you still did make that decision, kind of proving him right. So you're only choice at that point was to eat crow. Texter says, does Kiffin leave or do they kick him out first? He's not going to get fired. He's not going to get fired. I'll just tell you that right now. I don't think.
Well, you don't think that the governor of Louisiana would ever sign up to pay a ridiculous contract, a ridiculous buyout? Oh, wait, except they gave him a bigger contract with an even bigger buyout. Anything is on the table.
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know. I think with Lane having that $25 million a year stipend to go build a roster.
But what if Oregon has 30?
That is true.
But what if Northwestern has 35? Like, I don't trust anything about this man. Because it's always going to be someone else will present something better. And it's, well, why doesn't everybody understand that I just want to go get more money, even though I'm telling at press conferences that this was never about money? The man's a fraudulent phony. Everything he comes out of his mouth is nonsense.
Texter gets in and says, do you think Ole Miss should miss the playoffs because of Lane leaving, similar to FSU missing the playoffs because of an injury? No. I think that would be unfair to the players. I thought, listen, I kind of violently defended FSU at the time, too, even though I know they would have gotten blown off the face of planet Earth. Those players didn't deserve to go out like that. I don't like FSU at all. I would have much rather seen Alabama in the playoff, which we did, and I thought Alabama probably should have won the national championship. They had Michigan dead. Michigan was dead to rights in that game, and they freaking blew it, man. They absolutely blew it. So even with that being said, I would have rather watched Brock Glenn get blown out by 50 because the other 100-something players on that team earned the right to be on that stage, in my opinion. So
to me,
you can't leave them out of a 12-team playoff at 11-1 with one loss to Georgia. You can't do that.
No, absolutely not. And if anything, you're going to have the nation pulling for Ole Miss.
Yeah, like that's going to be America's team that everybody's rallying around because of the way that Kiffin conducted himself down the stretch. I hope Chambliss stays in place. That is my main hope right now, and the crossing my fingers that I'm doing is because I don't want to see Austin Simmons because I think he sucks. I want to see Trinidad Chambliss. That's one of my favorite players in college football. He's unbelievably exciting to watch. So I hope that Lane's cryptic tweeting of the Trinidad emoji with the Tigers next to it does not indicate that he is dipping on his team before the college football playoff in a very similar fashion to Lane Kiffin. I fear that might be the reality. I really hope it's not because I have a lot of respect for Trinidad Chambliss coming up from the Division II level, excelling at the P4 level this year. And if he wants to go next year to LSU and follow Lane, he is well within his right. Do not quit on your team before the playoffs just because your coach did. Please, Trinidad. We want to watch you play. Texter says, at this point, anybody that hires Lane Kiffin gets what they get when he decides to leave. If they cheat with you, they'll cheat on you. Yep. Another texter's getting in about Juice. That's a whole thing, too, with the dog. Apparently, the dog wasn't even his, and the dog was, you know, somebody else's, and they left the dog now, and that poor Twitter account's got all those followers. For what reason? Is Pete Golden going to inherit the dog? Is that how that works?
The dog never belonged to Lane. The dog still doesn't belong to Lane. The dog lives in Oxford. Lane does not. So good on the dog.
Good on the dog.
Good for the dog. Happy for the dog. The dog is the biggest winner in all this. He doesn't have to live a sham of a life anymore.
That is true. Frosty Sea Dog says, I agree with that take 100%. They shouldn't be left out. Thanks, Facts. Thanks, Frosty. Appreciate you texting, and I see these are your first couple texts. Keep texting.
I am curious to see how the nonsense of the committee tries to deal with this tonight.
Yeah.
Because they've already started on all the shows. They've already started on all the talking platforms of the four-letter network. Man, I am very worried that there's going to be this framing of it tonight where we're going to do a lot of talking about it over the next week, and then they'll come out on Sunday and maybe even do it. I'm very worried about that. Because I believe the job of the committee is to put the 12 most deserving teams based on what you did over 12 games or 13 to put them in there, not versus how great are you going to be for television for this entertainment product. I very worry that they're going to be like, well, I mean, Pete Golding's not as good for TV as Lane Kiffin, so why don't we just give this spot to Vanderbilt to make matters even worse for Ole Miss?
Yeah.
That they could give their spot to Vanderbilt. We talked a little bit during the break about the argument that Vanderbilt is presenting for themselves in the playoff. I'm here for the argument, but someone's got to get left out.
Yeah.
Someone's got to get bounced. Now, if Georgia beats Alabama this weekend, I have no problem giving Vanderbilt Alabama spot. I don't think that's how it's going to work. So I'm a little cautious about tonight's show. I'm not going to say that a tinfoil hat is already being worn or that I'm already about the conspiracy. I still believe that Ole Miss will make the college football playoff. Make sure we get that clear.
They need to be in.
But I'm worried of committee doing committee things to benefit other members of the league.
Yeah, and to be honest, let's transition this into some rivalry weekend recaps, if you will. 654 Roar, if you want to get in. I want to jump right into why I think the SEC is getting another spot that I'm not sure they entirely deserve. And listen, you guys know me by now enough to say I am never the ref-blaming guy. That's not who I am. I hate blaming the officials. And I had the most free excuse in the history of life to come on air Monday morning after the Duke game and blame the officials, and I still didn't do it. And that's for the team that I root for. Alabama-Auburn. Okay. I understand the Bama whistle is a real thing. Good God, man. Like, this was an insufferable game to watch. This was insufferable. The officials made this legitimately insufferable. How many phantom roughing the passers can Ty Simpson get to extend drives? Because I counted four. Auburn has whistled for 10 penalties for 84 penalty yards in this one, and it felt like there was yellow laundry on the flat or on the field on every third down that Alabama had throughout the entire course of the game. Bama takes it 27-20. They go down the field on a 15-play, 75-yard drive in 7 minutes and 53 seconds to take the lead. I got to give immense amount of credit to Kalen DeBoer here. He gambled in a position that I did not think it was smart to gamble in on fourth and goal, and he threw a six-yard. Ty Simpson threw a six-yard touchdown pass to Isaiah Horton to take that 7-point lead. Cam Coleman fumbled, and the rest was history. But man, I'm not blaming the refs for this one. Alabama deserved to win. They got up 17-0, and they were the better football team in a lot of different ways. I felt really bad for Ashton Daniels. I felt really bad for DJ Durkin. I felt really bad for Auburn. It has been a snake bit season on the plains for a plethora of reasons. And the way that the last couple possessions ended for Auburn, two of your last three possessions were in plus territory. There was an interception where Ashton Daniels hit the running back in the hands. It popped 15 yards in the air directly into the Alabama player's breadbasket. And then to further that point, on the final drive where you're marching it down the field again and you're in plus territory, your million-dollar man Cam Coleman is oleing the ball like he's prime Mike Vick with one hand, with the season on the line. Like, what are we doing, man? Auburn had chances. They squandered those chances. I thought Ashton Daniels played his tail off. That might be the best game I've seen him play in his entire career, to be honest with you. Auburn had 9 drops in this game, John. 9 drops. That receiving core that's being paid gazillions of dollars could not hold the football, and they fall 27-20. Did you tune into the Iron Bowl, and what did you think of the Iron Bowl?
I thought it was an entertaining game. I was surprised that Auburn had the fight that they had when Bama was up 17-0. But I was watching it mostly for the wishing and hoping and praying that Auburn wasn't actually going to do the thing. And thankfully, they didn't do the thing and hire DJ Durkin. Because I was looking forward to hating Auburn even more than I hated them with Hugh Freeze. So, you know, I'm glad that came to fruition. No, I mean, I thought Ashton Daniels played well. But it was an Ashton Daniels show, you know. And I also think if you take away a couple pop plays by Malcolm Simmons, the game's not even remotely competitive. So were there some questionable calls on some of those roughing the passers? Yes, but I am now almost at the point with roughing the passer like I am with targeting. I don't know what it is anymore.
I don't know what it is anymore either, and I'm also at a crossroads when it comes to evaluating and picking the SEC championship game because I thought Georgia was going to blitzcream Georgia Tech, and dog fans, this is the signal, 654 Roar, that's the worst I've seen Georgia play in maybe 2 years, at least offensively. I've given Bobo a ton of credit this year because I think Mike Bobo deserves a lot of credit for the job that he's done with this offense. That was one of the worst called games that I have ever seen. I'm going to, before a quick break, and we'll talk SEC championship game, we'll dive a little bit deeper in the weeds on Bama and Auburn, and we'll dive a little bit deeper into Georgia Tech on the other side of this. Georgia takes down Georgia Tech 16-9, okay? It's a win in a rivalry matchup. Those are always going to be closer, more competitive, whatever, yada, yada, yada. Here's the last 3 weeks for Georgia Tech's defense entering this game. NC State on the road, 48 points allowed. Total yardage for NC State, 583. All right? Then you go to Boston College, who had zero wins over P4 teams the whole season. You trail the majority of the game. Your defense gives up 34 points and 537 total yards. Dylan Lagerin throws for 362 yards a week after C.J. Bailey throws for 340. So then your season's on the line against Pitt. And what do? You give up 412 yards and 42 points. Heinschel goes almost perfect from the field, 20-27, two touchdowns, no turnovers, 226 yards. Then you play Georgia, right? Who's supposed to be the cream of the crop of the SEC. I've deemed them the cream of the crop of the SEC. I thought they were going to win this game by 30. Georgia goes for 260 total yards, 16 points. Gunnar Stockton's 11 of 21 for 70 yards. You threw the ball down the field vertically like four times the whole game against a secondary that had just been hemorrhaging against the vertical passing game the last 3 weeks. So, like, yeah, Georgia got the win, and they're in the SEC championship game. And I still really like Georgia going into the college football playoff and going into the SEC championship game because I think Bama looked terrible and they've faded down the stretch immensely, in my opinion. But this was a head-scratcher for me from an evaluation standpoint because this felt like Georgia was peaking at the right time. You go on the road to the Plains and you win an ugly game at Auburn. You come back at home. You beat a really good Ole Miss team in a shootout fashion. You win the cocktail party. You go on the road to Stark Vegas. You put up 41. You play Texas, who clearly has a very good defense, as we just saw. You blow them out 35-10. What happened? Like, I know you won the game, and it's hard to be mad when you win a rivalry matchup, especially with how last year's, you know, result kind of showcased itself down there between the hedges. But that was the biggest head-scratcher of me this weekend, was Georgia looked like crap. And I don't know if it was Bobo sitting on his hands, or I don't know if it was Kirby wanting to go vanilla before the SEC championship game. I don't know what it was, but Skip, everybody that we got out here that roots for the Dogs that gets in with us, get in with us at 654-ROAR during the break. We'll get you on the phone lines because I really missed on this one with my evaluation. I thought Georgia was going to be able to march the ball up and down the field effortlessly, and Georgia Tech's defense played their best game of the season. Quick break here on the program. We're talking more Bama, Auburn, and Georgia Tech right after this.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings. We've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Did you know State Credit Union now offers the same services big banks offer? Services like online account opening, online loan applications, mobile banking, remote check deposit, person-to-person transfers, electronic signatures, and more. All with better interest rates and lower fees than the big banks. Check them out today and see why over 600 people per month are joining State Credit Union. Visit them online at scscu.com. That's scscu.com. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Embrace the horizon at Longview, Carolina, your private agri-hood in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Home sites average over an acre, giving you the opportunity to own a piece of your very own mountain. With 50-mile panoramic views, a stone's throw from Easley, and a short drive from Clemson and Greenville, Longview, Carolina is your gateway to resilient living. Explore a life unbound. Visit longviewcarolina.com for your personal tour. Longview, Carolina, worlds apart, minutes away.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMale.com.
Holidays are quickly approaching, and there is no better way to shop for Western and workwear fashion for men, women, and children than at Cherokee Outfitters in Gaffney. If you hurry in now, you can save 10% by just mentioning the Roar FM. This excludes firearms. We also carry hunting and fishing clothes, gear, and supplies. With brands like Carhartt, Ariat, Cinch, Wrangler, and many more, you can get everything you need in one stop. Visit today right off I-85 at exit 90 or 92, just down Peachoid Road.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
Get ready for the City of Malden's Christmas Parade, Saturday, December 6th at 2, brought to you by the Malden Chamber of Commerce. Rolling from Golden Strip Career Center down Holland Road to Bridgeway Station. Presented by the Roar FM. Details at maldenchamber.org.
It's bow time. At Bojangles, we don't serve nuggets. We serve big, delicious, hand-breaded crispy chicken tender bites that have real flavor. Order Bow Bites with your favorite sauce at Bojangles today.
It's bow time.
60 years is a long time, especially when you're talking about how long a company has been in business. But that's exactly how long Joe Roberson and Son have been servicing and installing roofs right here in the upstate. 60 years. That means that many of the roofs you see every day, your neighbors, the roof at your favorite restaurant, or even the roofs you're driving past right now are likely a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Now you might be wondering why so many people here in the upstate have chosen Joe Roberson and Son for their roofing needs for six decades. And the answer is simple. They were founded on the principles of providing quality workmanship, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. When you work with them, you won't pay a single dime until the job's been completed to your satisfaction. So if you have any roofing needs, do what so many people in the upstate have done for the past 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Call 246-0886. That's 246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
Tuning in from the car?
What's that for the touchdown?
Stay connected to the Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download the Roar app on your phone by searching WCCPFM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
Welcome you back in. It's the final segment of hour number one with Fax and Childress and John Height here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in. You're listening to Fax on Sports on a Tuesday. Texter gets in and says Kirby's seen that he could stop Tech, so he went into Kirby's super conservative mode. Didn't help that we lost our leader on the offensive line in the second quarter. Appreciate you getting in, 750. And yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the vibe I got too. That was just more conservative than I've seen Georgia in years. In that game against Georgia Tech.
I'm definitely within that camp. I think it was ultra conservative, and I also think you just kind of knew, right? Like, they didn't have the, no pun intended here, they didn't have the dogs to beat you. And the way that Georgia was running the ball, I mean, 46 carries. They were hell-bent determined. On, they got a 10-point lead. Georgia Tech can kick their way back into this thing as much as they want to. I think that had as much to do with that this was just a Georgia decision than anything, versus them being like, oh no, they play terribly. Are we fading Georgia going into the SEC championship and the college football playoff? I know that makes for spicier takes. For me, I am just in the camp of Kirby knew they had it in the bag. And I actually think as much as these teams hate each other, that there's an immense amount of respect between the two coaches, that they definitely view life the same way of just grit and low scoring and punching and fighting and, you know, let's get in a phone booth and duke it out. I think it was just, hey, we've got this in the bag. We don't need to overexert ourselves. We can do that next week against Big Bad Bama, who we can never beat.
Yeah, and I think Georgia's a lot better than Alabama, to be honest with you. I think they should have won that first matchup, and I think they're going to win
probably
the SEC Championship.
Probably should have won 4 or 5 of the 7 that Kirby has played against him, but
yeah.
Kirby's only got 1 win against Alabama.
Which is mind-boggling, to be honest with you. I don't know how that's the case. It felt like they outplayed him in that SEC Championship game, and then Milroe went crazy on that last drive, and Beck choked up. And there's just been so many instances. And then, of course, this year, the true freshman drops a ball in the breadbasket to take the lead. Bama scores 0 second-half points. They hold on to win the game. SEC Championship game is going to be fascinating. I know that much. But it was interesting to see the way that things unfolded for Georgia Tech. Brent Key said it best, what run game? Yeah, I like that 167. And for to be honest, like Georgia Tech offensively, what a horrible and pathetic showing to go out with. I mean, your seniors, your quarterback, people are calling Haynes King the best player in program history, which is just a joke to me. 19-27 for a 181, no touchdowns, 1 pick, 10 carries for 39 yards. You ran the ball 23 times for 69 yards as a team in totality. Georgia Tech went out really sorry with these last two performances this year, and I was kind of disappointed to see that. But again, we kind of articulated that throughout the course of the season that they were getting away with a lot of games that they were losing on success rate, and they had a bunch of lucky turnovers, like that swung the Duke game, for example, that they probably should have lost. So those things always come back to roost eventually, and Georgia Tech's time was just up to be a football team that was being thrust into the conversations that they were being thrust into. So really good season for Brent Key. Still think next year is the year for them when they finally can take that ascension. It'll be interesting to see if Buster Faulkner's on the move this upcoming offseason. Couple texts to get to. There was no in the bag. They just played poorly, that simple. Yeah, I mean, I kind of tend to side more with like your line of thinking, but again, like I'm kind of caught in the middle. I don't understand why you wouldn't attack Georgia Tech's hemorrhaging secondary down the field more than they did. And I get that Gunner looked poor early and he looked a little bit frazzled, but like on tape the last 3 weeks specifically, John Ben Milstead and I could have went out and got 300 yards on Georgia Tech through the air. I mean, their guys just bursting wide open in coverage bust. Boston College put up 360 passing yards. They've beat 0 Power 4 opponents this year. So I guess I just don't understand what the game plan was from Bobo, but maybe it was like, hey, we're sandbagging a little bit. We want to go conservative before the SEC Championship game, and we don't want to have to burn an elite game plan or show some things on tape because we think we're better up front on both sides of the ball. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know what my evaluation is. I was stunned that this wasn't a 30-point drubbing. If you would have told me before the game that Georgia holds Georgia Tech to 9 points, I would have said this is going to be 42-9 running away. Seriously. With the way that Georgia Tech's defense has played the last couple weeks. So I was kind of stunned by that, to be honest. Texter gets in and says, how about Manny Diaz claiming they should make the college football playoff if they beat UVA on Saturday? I don't think it's as far-fetched as people realize, well, to be honest with you.
What else is he supposed to say?
Yeah, he's going to campaign for his team.
Like if Clemson was playing against Virginia in the ACC championship this weekend with a 7-5 record, which they have, I would expect Dabo Swinney to say at a press conference today at 11 a.m. if they were playing this week, like we would be carrying, for him to say, yeah, if we win, we should be in. Every coach who's in Duke's situation should say that. If they don't, I would fire him and hire somebody else who believes that. Because whether we think it's going to happen or not, the leader of the football team going into a conference title game needs to believe we win this game, we're in the playoff. That needs to be the messaging to the team. Not, well, they may let 12-1 JMU in, but that's only if we, you know, worry how the committee feels about Bob Chesney now maybe moving on. You have to message that to your team.
You do. And also, I think Duke's path is pretty simple and to the point. Troy beats James Madison. Boise State beats UNLV. Duke beats Virginia. Duke's probably in the college football playoff as the 12 seed. That's their path. Are those things likely to happen? No. But why would Manny Diaz try and downplay that moment to his team prior to the game? Like, right. It's exactly what you're saying. He's going to get those guys up like they're playing for a playoff spot to try and go win some silverware at Duke. Like, they're playing at Duke football, man.
And no, the conference champion does not get in. Remembered, we've got multiple texts. Well, wait, is Duke not automatically in if they win? And, you know, another text gets in by rule, conference champion gets in. No, it's the top five highest ranked conference champions.
Yeah, it's
there's nothing to do with the Power Four conferences and then the group of five. It's the five highest ranked conference champions.
People work under that assumption that it's going to be the Power Four
teams.
But...
And if Virginia wins, they're in. Absolutely. I don't think there's a question about it. But if it's 8-5, then like, yeah, like Troy has to beat JMU this weekend for this to happen.
Yes.
The American, I mean, it's just got to, I don't know, all in like a 7-way tie.
It's going to be the winner of North Texas and Tulane is going to get one of the spots, and then James Madison is going to get the fifth spot unless they lose to Troy in the conference championship game, and then you start to have the Duke and or UNLV / Boise State conversation.
Correct, yeah. So it's not as cut and dry as it is, but Manny Diaz needs to be messaging to his Duke team when we're in.
Texter says, Faxon, don't you think with the new wonky, unbalanced schedules that the ACC should revise its tiebreaker rules? An unranked team that's tied with other ranked teams should not be winning the tiebreaker. It's embarrassing for the conference. Yeah. I mean, I think
but
in an idea...
You can't change the rule right now.
You can't change the rule right now. I think if you want to go back to the drawing board throughout the course of the offseason and say, hey, we're going to go on the college football playoff rankings and we're going to say who's the highest ranked by the committee and we're going to put that team in the ACC championship game, then yeah, then I think that's probably the most logical way to do this thing. But ultimately, this is just, if you can believe it or not, lack of foresight by the ACC's leadership. Boom, mind blown, right? When has that ever happened in the history of life? It's lack of foresight by ACC's leadership, and it's the inability to make a logical decision when it comes to a tiebreaker. This is what I will say, though, about the whole Virginia element of this, and I like Tony E., and I'm not trying to rain on their parade by any means. We need to do something about the scheduling as well as the tiebreakers, because Virginia is making the ACC championship game without having played the second, the third, the fourth, or the fifth team in the ACC standings. They didn't play Miami, Georgia Tech, Pitt, or SMU. They have played two top 40 FPI opponents, and they will make the playoff if they win with zero wins over ranked opponents. So even if Virginia gets in this thing, that does not mean that the system is fixed or the system isn't flawed.
Well, we have 18 and 17 team conferences when we play 12 regular season games,
yep.
And you're only playing 9 conference games.
You have
eight, and then you're about to start playing 9. We can't have equal scheduling with these leagues. We have to shed some of the weight, and I don't know, let's have a fifth power conference. Boy, would that really help out the math for everybody if there was a West Coast conference that really helped balance out the math here. Oh, wait, we had one of those, but no, TV had to go and just destroy it.
Yep, and Utah's leadership got greedy and thought they were worth more than they're actually worth. We had the solution right in front of us. John's 100% right. Let's get Delvin in here because people have been waiting on the phone lines for ages. Delvin, appreciate you. We got a couple minutes, and then we'll get to Dustin. Dustin, sorry for making you waiting as well. We got off on a tangent.
Yeah, I understand, guys. You're talking about the craziness with Lane Kiffin and his coach. I believe the whole Trinity Championship thing, but, man, what is going on in Penn State, man? It looked like Colonial Tech was going to be the guy, but then the Cookie Man, Penn State lost to the Cookie guys because the Cookie Man came in to save the day, so... I'm like, dude, just give it to Terry Smith. Everybody wants him to be the head coach. They galvanized about him. I said, go with him.
This is the thing for me with Terry Smith. The players don't know what in the world they're talking about. I got to just be completely blunt and honest here. Players have no idea what's going on with who's going to be a good leader or football coach and who's not. And I don't mean any disrespect to the players by saying that. I like Terry Smith. I think it would be a great story. I want you to remember back to when the Raiders did that because the players rallied around their guy. Like, the players rallying around somebody, I would say the hit rate on that is about 1 out of 10. So if you hire Terry Smith and it doesn't work, then everybody's going to say it's a lazy hire.
You said it's 1 out of 10, but look what happened with Marcus Freeman.
Is that the same thing for Marcus Freeman? Like, is that the exact same thing? I think that's a little bit of an apples to oranges type of situation.
Because the players wanted him. They didn't want nobody else. They said we don't want nobody else in here to try to break up this coach. We want Marcus Freeman, the head coach. It doesn't turn out well for Marcus Freeman.
I'm never going to be in the camp of promoting the interim because you get Antonio Pierce 9 times and you get Dabo Swinney 1 time, and it's maybe 1 time out of 10. So I think Terry Smith's a great dude. I'd love for him to get the job, and I think that maybe there's a chance he does a good job. I think you should be shooting higher than having a first-time head coach. If you fire James Franklin to give an interim first-time head coach the job, something has gone horribly, horribly, horribly wrong.
Some things may have gone horribly wrong, but financially it may not be the worst thing in the world to try to throw a bunch of money at other things other than the head coach, the way some of these contracts are going.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, all these coaches keep turning it down fast. You might not have a choice to go to Terrace Mill. I mean, like I said, the cookie, you lost to a cookie. It seems like Kalani said, talking might be staying because you lost to the cookie man, so to speak. If you don't know what I'm talking about, guys, a guy at BYU is part of the main booster from on a cookie coming.
Yeah, the crumble cookie guy.
He came in at the last minute, and it seemed like Kalani Sataka going to stay. So basically, it's Brian Hartline, Brian Dable, and Terry Smith. I'll go out to Brian Hartline and try to get him with Miles State. If you can't get him, go with Brian Davis. You got to get somebody in there because,
man,
this has turned into Tennessee.
For sure. Hey, Delvin, we're right up against a hard break. Appreciate you checking in. Hour number two of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right after this on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM.